Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Thanks for listening to Morning Edition this morning on WYLL AM 580 and FM 90.9 HD2 and HD3. It's time now for the pre-opening commodity market reports, and here's Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jay, and good Thursday morning, everyone. The Commerce Department today says that new U.S. orders for long-lasting manufactured goods fell for a sixth consecutive month to a six-year low in January. The Commerce Department says durable good orders dropped 5.2% to $163.8 billion in January, the lowest level since December of 2002. Orders for the prior month were revised downward to a drop of 4.6%, previously reported as a 3% contraction. Motor vehicles and parts fell 6.4%. USDA released its export sales report this morning for the week ending February 19th. The numbers look like this: in millions of bushels, wheat this year, 17.1, next year, 4.1. Corn this year, 17.3, next year, 0.3. Soybeans this year, 12.5, next year, 0.3. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is now trading at 7,318. It's up 48, almost 49 points. The NASDAQ at 1426 is up 1.54. And as I click in here for the S&P 500, I see that it is now trading at 772.24, and it's up 7.34 points.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Joining us now with a look at the day's agricultural weather is Mike Sola. Good morning, Mike.
Well, good morning, Dave. Obviously, we have a couple weather stories to talk about right across the heart of the Corn Belt. The first is a storm system that's pushing in already snow, heavy snow in some areas across the upper Midwest, across the eastern Dakotas, and now dipping all the way down into the northwest corner of Iowa. Some pockets of heavy rain, and with rivers and streams, you know, in some areas pretty near their flood level, we could see some more flooding as some pockets of heavy rain are expected to develop, along with some severe storms. And again, right now on the radar, right across central Illinois, a band of moderate rainfall stretching from the Illinois River Valley towards the Wabash River Valley, and to the west of the Mississippi River, a couple of strong storms across eastern Missouri that are dropping heavy rain. So we have the frozen precipitation to the north spreading across the upper Mississippi Valley. Rain showers have started to develop in the heart of the Corn Belt and will continue to work its way through, and then colder air will push in behind that. Over the next week or so, we are looking for generally well below average temperatures across, all the way from the Dakotas in through the Great Lakes and down into the Mid-South region. And those much below average temperatures are expected to stick around into the first couple days of March for the eastern Corn Belt. There's a threat of severe weather later in the week. It looks like Sunday, Monday, and maybe even to Tuesday, a chance of severe weather in the southeastern states where they are starting to prep for the summer planting season. And across the portions of Texas, the drought will continue, and they don't have much in the way of prospects for precipitation there. The areas south of the border, we'll go down to Argentina, and there has been a little bit of a change in the computer model runs. They are suspecting less precipitation next week through the following weekend. Rainfall will be very limited during that period as a high-pressure ridge builds over Argentina, suppressing rainfall and warming temperatures up. Rain will precede this event Monday and Wednesday, with Monday and Tuesday of next week being the wettest. Some showers may also occur over the weekend, but the looking at the early portion of next week for the heaviest precipitation. The lightest rainfall will be in the southwestern part of Argentina, offering only limited relief to the moisture stress in La Pampa and southwestern Buenos Aires. The drier outlook for late next week and the following weekend allows temperatures to heat back up a little more significantly, and that, again, could cause some stress in some areas. In Brazil, showers and thunderstorms produce mostly light rainfall in about a third of Brazil's grain, oilseed, and cotton production areas yesterday. Rainfall totals through midnight did reach up over an inch in southern Minas Gerais, while most other areas picked up about a half inch or less. The forecast, again, the second week of the two-week forecast has changed, and this one has rain returning to center-south and center-west crop areas while allowing for far southern Brazil to dry down, and far southern Brazil has been one of the wetter areas. That will contrast with the first week of the weather, in which the far southern area will be the wettest, and that drying occurs in many areas central and north. No area will become excessively dry, but topsoil conditions will firm up rather significantly in northeastern portions of Brazil. Rain that occurs the end of the first week of March will be scattered through many of the drier areas, and that should restore some favorable soil moisture for ongoing crop development. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
Join us at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana on March 10th for the 2009 All-Day Agriculture Outlook Meeting. Full details are on our website at WILLAG.org. Thanks to these agribusinesses for helping to support this year's meeting: the Andersons, DTN, AgriGold Hybrids, ADM Investment Services, and L&M Commodities. In the Wednesday overnight trading session, March wheat in Kansas City opened at 560, down 6, last trade down 4 and 1 quarter. At the Board of Trade, March wheat opened at 526, up 1 and a quarter, last trade down 3 and a half. July, 549, up 1 and a half, last trade down 3 and a quarter. December, 594, up 1 and a quarter, last trade down 3. March corn opened at 362 and a half, down 1 1/4, last trade up 1 1/4. July, 381, down 1, last trade up 1 1/2. December, 402 and a quarter, down 1 1/2, last trade up 1/2. March beans opened at 878 unchanged, last trade down 6. May, 880 and a quarter, up 1/4, last trade down 6. November, 838 unchanged, last trade down 4 1/4. March soybean meal opened at 272.80 unchanged, last trade unchanged. May, 267.40 unchanged, last trade down 20. March soybean oil opened at 31.79, down 11, last trade down 57. May, 32.15, down 5, last trade down 59. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Brian Maple of FC Stone & Company. He is in Indianapolis, Indiana. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Dave.
After a month of about what you would call decent corn exports, we came to good ground today.
Oh, we did indeed, didn't we? Coming in with roughly a total of 20 million bushels that were export sales, and I actually have been surprised that we've had 5 weeks in a row of pretty good sales out here. That's probably an indication that feed wheat was just not quite available at that point, and maybe that we got down cheap enough to get some people to step in and buy it. But my guess is you'll find another disappointment again next week after we've seen corn prices rally a little bit here over the last couple of days. We probably don't see very heavy selling here or buying from the farm people at this point either. We do have the Outlook Conference going on today, tomorrow. It's going to be interesting to see what they come out with. The rumor talk right now is that they're coming in with a carryout on beans at 380 million bushels. Corn carryout slightly higher than this year, which I'd like to see the breakdown on how they come up with a slightly higher carryout on corn. But certainly the numbers I'm hearing so far are not friendly to trade today. I think the only real friendly thing you've got going in trade today is looking at some of your outside markets, where your crude oil's up $1.70, dollars down 380 points, and the Dow's trading up 60, 65 points today.
I did see the crush pick up a bit.
But below estimates.
Mm-hmm.
They were looking for 155.5. I'm sorry, I think, what was the actual number?
145.19.
Yeah, 145.2, and they were looking for 145 to 146, I believe, something like that. So you're on the low end and well below last year's 160. that came out. So I don't think that's going to be a big help to us, to be honest with you, Dave.
So it's a muted market both internally and externally. Are we just trying to catch our breath in here after all of what's been going on the balance of this week?
Oh, maybe to some extent. I think the outlook numbers could have some play in it. But the reality is our last gas of hope really coming in here for the bean complex was based on South America, and that's pretty well washed away now. With the stock market tumbling the way it did earlier this week, and certainly a vote of no confidence so far to the administration's approach to the issues in the economy right now, you have to feel like we've got some lower numbers coming ahead of us. And I think as farmers out here, they ought to take a hard look at the basis levels that are being pushed. If this export demand starts to shift, and I saw that China bought beans out of South America overnight last night, if that demand starts to walk away, I mean, in today's export sales, they took 339,000 tons, and the total sales number was 339 because we had a cancellation of 140,000 tons, I think. So they're such a big part of our export program. If they're gone, it makes it that much easier for the processor to buy beans.
All right. Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, Dave.
Brian Maple of S.C. Stone & Company in Indianapolis, Indiana. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana.